on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So I imagine that most of us know this story. It's often used for children's Sunday school or vacation Bible school curriculums. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was taking some youth to a confirmation retreat, and the leader began the weekend by saying, "Who's heard the story of Samuel being called?" And everyone's hand shot up. I can even remember acting this out when I was about 10 years old at summer camp, where I got to play Eli and my friend Cody was Samuel. And it was a riveting reinterpretation of the story. But a lot of us have heard this call story of Samuel, and perhaps why this story is so perfect for children is because they can see themselves in it. Samuel was a child, therefore, perfect story for children. But now that many of us are, and I'm going to be careful, well-seasoned, experienced, I want to ask, do we know the full story? Do we know the adult story? Because it's not over. And by the end of the story, Samuel will be the prophet of Israel and Eli no longer will be. And so our lectionary text gives us some options here. Because if you look at the Common Revised Lectionary, it says 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And then in parentheses, 11 through 20. Now those parentheses are optional. And often our children's stories that we share do not go into the parentheses. But this morning we're going to break those down. And we're going to grow in wisdom that the full story can teach us. So I'm going to begin where Tom left off, where Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And I'm going to read this from The Message, where we get to hear God's vision. God said to Samuel, "Listen carefully. I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that is going to shake everyone up and get their attention. The time has come for me to bring down on Eli's family everything I warned him of, every last word of it. I'm letting him know that his time is up. I'm bringing judgment on his family for good. He knew what was going on, that his sons were desecrating God's name and God's place, and he did nothing to stop them. This is my sentence on the family of Eli. The evil of Eli's family can never be wiped out by sacrifice or offering." Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then rose early and went about his duties, opening the doors of the sanctuary. But he dreaded having to tell the vision to Eli. But then Eli summoned Samuel. "Samuel, my son." Samuel came running. "Yes, what can I do for you?" Eli responded, "What did God say? Tell it to me, all of it. Don't suppress or soften one word, as God is your judge. I want it all, word for word, as he said to you." So Samuel told him word for word. He held back nothing. Eli said, "God is God. Let God do what God thinks best." Samuel grew up. God was with him. And Samuel's prophetic record was flawless. Everyone in Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, recognized that Samuel was the real thing, a true prophet of God. So let's break down what we just heard. We learn that the vision that God is desperately calling Samuel about is also a troublesome message. Because God, who is moved by into action by the cries of the afflicted, tells the boy Samuel to listen carefully, My words are going to shake this nation and get everyone's attention. God then tells Samuel the whole story for the first time about how Eli's sons benefited from their father's position as prophet and priest of the nation, and how they had used that power to chase their every desire. They exploited the poor for their personal gain. They lived each day only to satisfy their every want, with no regard for the irreparable damage they were doing to others. So God tells Samuel that while Eli did not engage in his son's behaviors, his silence had made him complicit in the suffering of others. Eli refused to heed God's warnings, and by doing so, neglected his covenant with God because he failed to do the one thing God called him to do, which was to care for the most vulnerable. Samuel, who isn't called boy anymore, did you notice that? No longer boy Samuel, but Samuel, more mature, carries the news to Eli that his silence has effectively broken the covenant, which makes God's promise void. And it is Samuel, not the boy Samuel, but a grown-up, mature Samuel who listens faithfully to God's call, who faces the hard truth and confronts Eli. God knew that something had to change. And with courage, Samuel listened to God's call and therefore is empowered with God's blessing as Eli is stripped of it. So while verses 1 through 10 is this personal story of answering a missed call from God, within the parentheses reveals that God's call has sweeping implications for society, and that the safety and security of many are dependent on a mature Samuel saying, "Speak, for your servant is listening." In this second week of Lent, we are reminded that our relationship with God is not for personal benefits, but a faith in God that is growing, that is maturing, will always lead us to answer God's call into the world. By making God's concern his own, Samuel was led to confront Eli and his complicity in the acts of oppression. With Samuel as prophet of Israel, God has a reliable partner to do a new thing, one that won't be silent on oppression, one that will hold his relationship with God and live into his covenant. And the result is this new thing where Samuel will join God in building a just society where God's shalom can thrive. Samuel answers that call. These past couple years, a lot has been brought to the public's attention about the afflictions taking place in our society. Through cell phone videos and courageous stories, we know that life-threatening violence is still being waged against the LGBTQIA community, especially transgendered folk. We know that greenhouse gases that we emit into the air are causing irreversible damage to our planet and puts future generations at higher risks. We also know that in the wealthiest country, 95 million Americans live in poverty or low income. That's nearly 30%. And we just saw this week, that the officers responsible for the death of Daniel Prude were not held accountable for their actions. Again and again, a reminder that for many, black lives do not matter. Each one of these afflictions is a call. It's a call to join God in the work of shalom. It is to courageously listen to the call. Listen to the full story and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The mission of the church is to listen, Because again and again, God calls out to us. And again, we must decide, are we Eli or are we Samuel? Do we choose silence or do we choose participation? Believe me, I understand that many of us in the church are nervous about the future of the church. What will it look like in 10 or 20 years? And I'm here to say, I have no clue. I really don't. We can't know what that will look like. But I do want to offer the assurance that as long as we seek to live in right relationship with God, to not neglect our covenant with God, to courageously listen to God calling out in the night, grace, 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 and then become co-creators of shalom with God, then we can trust God will be with us, empowering us every step of the way. And may it be so. Amen.